Well, the Rolling Stones have a new release marking 50 years on stage. Time's on my hands, big song. Back with Grandmother's Little Helper and Brown Sugar Diabetes. Well, what do you know?
Not much. You.
Live from Valdez, Alaska, to Chattanooga, Tennessee, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio at PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Norman Gilliland. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's Long Tall Marcia Ball, All the News That Isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man with a do not resuscitate sign on his lawn, Michael Feldman.
Now applause. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Norman. Let's see, what else we got here? Hey, you, get off of my tube. Talk about the Midnight Stumbler. Arteries of Stone, big hit for this one. I can't get no Jerry action. I'm done. In all the news that isn't, the California marijuana crackdown, cows suddenly not so happy. Still see the occasional dolphin, but it brings no joy. The Egyptian parliament meets at Comic-Con. Their booth right next to 50 Shades of Grey, so they should get some action there. Romney knee-slapping version of Camp Town races fails to arouse NAACP. Where he made his mistake was going to the medley, I think. You know, Camp Town to Swing Low Street Chariot, Swanee. Safe to say the Romney speech was the most boring speech ever booed. Usually you don't boo the boring ones. You just sit there, oh, man. It was polite booze, though. Well, of course, being a Mormon, it's the only way he gets booze, actually. Oh, see? I'm not even Mormon. Thank you so much. Romney has canceled the appearance before the Islamic Brotherhood and will not be opening for the Kings of Comedy. The Latin Grammys, still up in the air. We'll see if he makes it. Got to give him chutzpah, though, for landing in Israel on the high holy day of mourning. Timing is everything, you know. Who's booking this guy? Really, someone's got to book this guy better. President Obama now feels obliged to do the National Realtors Association. As a result. See how that goes. Somali militants offer 4 camels for Obama. Thinking they meant cigarettes, the president very nearly accepted. They have since raised the offer to 5 camels and a yacht complete with cruise couple. I just came by the Somali coast. All right, anyway, the new Olympic look here. The berets required, baguettes optional for U.S. Olympians. Designed by Ralph Lauren, the new Olympic outfits. You've seen them? Could have been worse. Very nearly Victoria's Secret. You know, crotchless tracksuits, we don't need. Do we? No. Congress discovers affordable care a pre-existing condition. Can't do anything about it. They did vote it down for the 33rd time and threw in Newton's laws. So, on a voice vote there. Now an apple hits him on the head, it's an Obama conspiracy. It's nothing to do with laws of nature. The real reason for opposition to medical care, conservatives don't like to share a room. That's all it is. They get the room to themselves, you know. I don't know what they do in there, but something there, they like privacy. Dick Cheney raffles off his old heart at a Romney anti-healthcare rally. That's borderline ironic or something, isn't it? The defecting Syrian ambassador is reassigned to Narnia. The Syrian general who defected has been reminded to stop by and pick up his final paycheck. Yeah, nice little bonus in there. Rooftop missilery to be a trial sport at the London Olympics. in Scranton, Pennsylvania, takes a special guy to rush into a burning house for $7.25 an hour. That's $2.75 less than the sitter who just fled. Nothing heard from Mitt Romney since the grouse hunt with Dick Cheney. The bankrupt towns in the song Route 66, Get Your Kicks, are up to San Bernardino right now. And Oklahoma City looks oh so pretty. It's looking more and more like either German or circumcised. Okay. Remains found suggest the earliest Americans ate a ton of fiber. Ton of fiber. And then the earliest immigration to the Americas actually came in three waves, they've discovered, as a result of all this fiber. Three waves, Orthodox, Conservative, and Reform came in. Turns out Mitt Romney is still stripping equity because Bain is like the mafia. You can't quit. Once you're in Bain, you're always in Bain. To lose weight, keep a journal and eat it. And if you stand instead of sit 3 hours a day, you'll live 2 years longer but be dead on your feet. There's that. And finally, the Walker anti-Obamacare op-ed in the Washington Post was lifted entirely from Koch's notes. And that's all the news I did. Thank you so much. See, like Cliff's notes, only Koch's notes. And this left over here, it's under the heading of, it's the heat news we've been doing. You know, all these strange things have been happening because of the heat. This is the latest one here. A 28-year-old Wausau man found sleeping nude along the Wisconsin River by a fisherman, and his teenage son was jailed on charge of lewd and lascivious behavior. He was arrested Sunday afternoon, separated by bushes from hundreds of spectators who were watching practice for the World Canoe Championships at the Wausau Whitewater Course. Obviously paddling his own canoe is what he was doing. A 44-year-old woman wearing only her bra and underwear also was with him but was not charged. Okay, it's the heat news. That's it for it's the heat news for today. She's long, she's tall, and I hope she likes that description. Maybe she doesn't. I got to find out pretty soon. Would you welcome, please, on our very stage, long, tall, Marcia Ball, joining us. On the road again with Marcia Ball.
Thank you. Woo, all right.
Did the lozenge help a little bit? Did lozenge help?
A ton, yeah. It's lodged right here.
And she was working last night. I saw her down at the Fête de Marquette, right down there. We're here in Madison. Fabulous, fabulous show. Wonderful night.
Goes on today.
Goes on and keep it goes on. And you're headed, where are you headed from here?
Milwaukee. Going to Shank Hall.
Shank Hall.
Yeah.
Take it by the Shank down there. Yes.
We're following in the footsteps of Spinal Tarp.
Spinal Tarp, right.
Yeah.
And this is your nonstop tour.
Of life.
Of life. keep moving. Keep moving is the idea.
Momentum is the thing.
And the long, tall thing, before I ever call you that again.
Well, it's a good thing, because once you've said it once, you can never say my name without saying it. Have you noticed?
I noticed that. Yeah. Everyone feels obliged to do it, but do you even like it?
I don't mind. Look at me.
Yeah. Okay. Can you do a little something for us here?
I sure can. Yeah. You mean play music?
Music or whatever you want to do.
Okay.
Whatever you want to do.
This morning, saw the sun was shining in my door. I opened up my eyes and saw I did not have to worry anymore. I'm gonna let a little secret slip. It's not the destination, it's the trip. It's the moss you gather while you roll. It's all you know. Stop, look, and listen. The message that you're getting is clear. for Christmas. It's Christmas every day of the year. So count your blessings one by one, and welcome every rising sun, 'cause pretty soon your race is run. Don't you know that's how it goes? Oh yeah. I help you and you help me. That's the way the world should be. Tit for tat, give and take. Just be good for goodness sake. Pick you up if you should fall. It works both ways if it works at all. Hold in your heart the people you love. Always thank the powers above. Everyone deserves a share, so keep your
want to leave it around.
That's some good advice. Delbert McClinton one time, a young guitar player, said, well, do you have any advice for somebody starting out in the music business? He said, yeah, never leave your wallet backstage.
And that's still true, isn't it? How is Delbert?
He's good.
Yeah.
Real good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going on his cruise.
He's still doing his
January. You should know about that from here.
Yeah.
A week in the Caribbean on a boat with a boatload of musicians.
Musicians and, yeah. and fans.
And fans.
Yes.
Family reunion type.
Does that bother you at all? Because they tried to get me to go on this cruise one time with What Do You Know fans, when we still had them, I mean. And we're going to go up the coast to Alaska. But being trapped on a boat with people who say, so how did you first think of What Do You Know? You know,
yeah.
I mean, like 12 days of that.
Yeah, 100 times a day.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, for one thing, if you can't take that, I know people.
Yeah.
Performers who've done it one time,
yeah.
and that was it. They just never went back.
Last cruise.
But I don't mind. I mean, I have to remind myself at the end when I get to the airport and get off the boat that I don't have to smile at everybody I see.
I know, but you know,
do. Those people over there, they don't know me.
You are so.
I don't have to go.
I know, but you're so good to your audience. Partly because you sit sideways on there, so you can look at them.
So I can look at them. Yeah.
Yeah. That's part of it.
And they have to wonder whether my shoe's going to come off and bean them.
No, yeah. It's probably happened, hasn't it? Never fly off? Never? In all these years? It's the song you sang about your grandfather, or someone's grandfather, being a fisherman. Also.
Yeah.
Is that your story?
Yeah,
family story?
It's pretty true.
Because I'm trying to get the backstory. I realize I don't really know sort of what made Marcia Ball, where it came from, and all
well,
that.
Well, it is true. I mean, yes, my granddaddy was a fisherman. My daddy and mama were fishermen.
Yeah.
They fished and danced their entire married life.
Fished and danced.
Uh-huh, 52 years of married life until daddy died.
Mm-hmm.
She still loves to fish. I can still get that little glow.
Yeah, and she's from Thibodaux, is that how that...
She grew up down near Thibodaux in Labadeville, Louisiana, and in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And Daddy grew up in Lafayette, Louisiana, and over where I grew up in Vinton, Louisiana.
In Vinton, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I did.
So it's accurate. They were fishermen. We're Cajun. It was kind of inspired by the old license plate and the nickname of Louisiana was Sportsman's Paradise.
Yeah.
When I was growing up.
Yeah.
And it was a paradise.
Yeah, yeah. And were you part of that? Being
yeah.
When the sportsmen came down, were you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I fished. I didn't hunt. I don't.
Now so there was dancing. So there must have been music. And where did the music come from? In the Ball family.
Of course. Oh well, my grandmother and actually my great grandfather was a composer and a musician. He was Belgian, and he came to Louisiana, and he settled in Brobridge, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. He founded the town band there. He was the editor of the newspaper, the publisher of the newspaper there, and in Lafayette. So his daughter, my grandmother.
What was his name?
It was Henry Henri Vandercruzen.
Whoa. Okay.
Vandercruzen, and he married a Broussard, which is a real...
Vandercruzen married a Broussard.
Uh-huh.
They didn't hyphenate in those days. That was a good name.
They were already... Wow, what a name. So then one of their daughters is my grandmother. She played piano. Her daughter, my aunt Meredith, played piano. I was just next in line.
Yeah.
And they just put me... I have a friend, Ponty Bone, who's an accordion player. He said by the time he could say he didn't want to, he already could.
That's a title.
That's right. Yeah.
That's a title. Yeah. That'd be a good one. But did you have, like, lessons in? Did you take lessons?
Took lessons when I was a kid, you know, kiddie classical.
Yeah. Kiddie classical?
Kiddie classicals. And when I was 14 to, you know, drive cars, play sports, chase boys.
Yeah.
And then I came of age at that perfect time and in a perfect place. You ask where I come from.
Yeah.
South Louisiana, especially my little corner of southwest Louisiana on the state line, I say this in my shows, but all the clubs were on the Louisiana side.
Right.
You know, and you could always get a drink easier on the Louisiana side. And there were all these nightclubs and all this great music. Now, on the Texas side, Johnny and Edgar Winter and Janis Joplin are growing up right across the river, and the Big Bopper was there, and George Jones was from there, and everybody was from there. But to play, and what I say, introducing one of my songs, which is called Down the Road, on Saturday night, all the Baptists from Texas come over to Louisiana and act like Catholics. So that's how I grew up with that. And then also in the heyday of the best New Orleans music, you know, Fats Domino's heyday and Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis and all that's going on, plus Stax in Memphis and Motown is all hot. So it's just perfect.
Did you take off for New Orleans at a certain point?
I took off for LSU. I went to Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
And I was always going back and forth to New Orleans because I had a grandmother there.
Oh.
So I saw some of those people when I was a kid. When I was 13, I saw Irma Thomas.
Yeah, how cool. Yeah.
So it was a great time and place.
Was Gate Mouth Brown from your town, isn't it?
Gate Mouth is from Vinton, Louisiana. He was born in Vinton and raised in Orange, Texas. And I was born in Orange and raised in Vinton.
So you're the inverse
of
Gate Mouth Brown.
Yes. We were good
you're
friends,
Brown,
though.
Gate Mouth.
And his brother Gatmouth.
Well, that is so cool. So I know a little bit about you.
Yeah.
I feel good because I've seen you, had you on the show a few times, and been to all your shows. My favorite at the time in Pensacola, we saw you down there.
Right.
That was a fabulous show. You walk. It was $5 to get in. It was like a Pensacola music festival, whatever.
Right on the beach.
$5. You walk in there. Willie Nelson is singing to a couple thousand people right in front of you. Keep on going. Bobby Blue Bland is down there playing with his band, and then Marsha Ball is down there. And didn't you sat in with Bobby Blue Bland, or he sat in with you, or one?
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they went broke that year.
Did they? Wow. Oh, it was like the best thing I've ever been to in my life.
Most fabulous festival.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Can you do another one for us?
Sure.
I know you've got to get back on that road again.
Oh yeah, I got to go to Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee. That's not that far. You can squeeze this in.
Up or down? What do you think?
Up or down?
Yeah.
Wow.
Should I do that song?
Sure. That's a good one. Yes, I love it.
My granddaddy was a fisherman. Lived on the water more than the land. He could tell the seasons by the turn of the tide. Well, I grew up right by his side. He was a proud Cajun, and he worked real hard. The Chaffalai Basin was his front yard. And I can hear him saying with a tear in his eye, this used to be paradise. This used to be paradise. Brown pelicans and sangale, big salty oysters and alligators. So many fish, they would jump in your boat. Throw in line, and that's all she wrote. We had a little house on high ground, cypress trees all around, good living, peace and quiet. This used to be paradise. This used to be paradise. Then one day the oil man came. He gave us jobs and everything changed. We still run our boats and we drag our nets, but every day we get less and less and less. I guess you can't stop the way time goes by, and I can't think of any reason why they had to come and take our way of life. Now we don't know if we can even survive. They took the very land our house was on, and the shrimp and the pelicans, they just hanging on. It's a damn shame to make an old man cry. This used to be paradise. 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 My granddaddy was a fisherman. Thank you very much.
Marcia Ball.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International.
Thanks, Darren. I'll look through these real quick.
That's the show prep you were supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I know, but, you know.
Well, you know, something that occurred to me while she was playing is that...
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
I could be more successful if I had I need a nickname.
Yeah.
You know, Gabe Mouth-Brown.
Big,
so.
Fat John Tooley.
I know.
Not too fat, not too lean. How about that? Too fat, too lean. I'm just thinking out loud here. I'm just, you know. Tupac. Tupac, too lean.
Tupac, okay.
All right, well, I don't have time to read these, so we're going to go random into the audience. This is going to be very exciting.
They're all good.
Very exciting. Yeah,
great audience.
We'll go through all your cards here. And how is everybody? Pretty good? Yeah? Okay, good. What's the thing to do tonight for someone from out of town?
Shank Hall.
That's it. Huh?
Go to Shank Hall.
In Milwaukee, yeah, but he wants something here to do tonight. Where is Jeff? Jeff Spada? Is that right? Hey, Jeff.
Hi.
What sort of entertainment are you looking for, Jeff?
Wondering where the band's playing or just something.
No, this band's not playing anywhere, are you?
No, we're not.
No, they're not playing. Or what?
I'm stuck in class for 2 weeks.
You're stuck in class. Hang on just a second.
Better girl.
It's a cry for help, and being a radio host, we always respond to cries for help. Are you stuck in class for 2 weeks? What sort of class are you stuck in? You're a little old for class, aren't you? Yeah. Did they hold you back or something? Why are you still in class?
No, I'm work for a credit union in Cleveland, and
we. Oh, sorry.
No, don't be. It's the place to be.
Oh, okay.
And they have a management class that the National Association's doing, and we're living in the dorm at.
Which dorm are you in?
Smith Hall, at Wisconsin. So for 2 weeks we're stuck. They give us the weekend off, and figured I'm in Madison. What do I need to see or do?
Well, you know, do what they do in the dorms. You flood the hallway and you slide down them on your trays.
No, we've been doing that all week. We need something for the weekend.
I don't know. Anybody have any suggestions here for what a guy who's... Yes?
La Fête de Marquette.
You go there. It's in our Central Park there. Right. On the east side there. Dickinson Street. Just ask around. You'll hear the music.
All right. Yeah. Thanks.
Or ask a cab driver. They usually know what's going on. They can fix you up with almost anything. My three brothers are head football coaches in Wisconsin. Can you name them? Dean Rassmeyer. Are they all named Rassmeyer? Rassermeyer?
Rosemeyer.
Why don't you spell better, Rosemeyer? Does that say Rosemeyer? I don't think so. Where are you?
Right here.
Oh, hey. Okay, I'll try and get you here. This is like trivia or something about your family, which I'm not really, you know, how would I know? Basically, you have three football coaches, head football coaches in Wisconsin, and what do you do? Nothing?
I used to be a head football coach.
You did?
Yes.
Where were you a head football coach?
In Eau Claire.
In Eau Claire? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Good teams in Eau Claire, I know that. I give up.
Well, one's in Durand. His name is Rodney.
Rodney?
Yes. And one's in Gilman. His name is Robin. And one's in Colby, and his name is Jeff.
How do you like that? And they're all head foot, and you as well.
Yes.
Are there any other brothers who really didn't make it?
There are two others who didn't quite make it.
Yeah. How do you account for the abundance of... the odds must be 1,000,000,000 to 1 against having, four?
Four, yes.
Four head football coaches in one family.
Correct. Maybe concussion syndrome? I don't know.
Was your dad a football coach?
He was a dairy farmer.
Okay, now this is getting... So I'm thinking something, maybe the hormones they're using or something?
Maybe.
Is that possible?
Yeah, we were pretty much...
They use that growth hormone on...
We didn't get that far.
No, you didn't?
No.
Well, there's no accounting for it then. How do you account for it?
Just a stroke of luck. I don't know.
A bit of a love of football, obviously, and you guys all played?
Yes, we did, and the families were quite athletic, and we'd have neighborhood baseball games, and my cousins would come over, and it was just a big family deal.
But also, it's not just being athletic. To be a head football coach, you got to have some kind of personality. I don't want to say defect, but you know, you got to have that like a sergeant major kind of thing.
Well, kind of, but you have to be able to get along with kids and parents and the whole works.
There's been a lot of fighting in here. I mean, there was
some. Yeah, there's a competitive.
Where were you in that?
I'm the oldest of the group. I'm the oldest of the group.
So you were the pecker, not the pecky. Okay.
Tried not to be.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting. Thank you very much. That comes up in trivia again. Now I know.
Now you know. That's right.
I have to try to memorize that. Nice to meet you, Dean. We always do that. Norman has to be told. How are you? Pretty good?
Yeah, pretty good.
Did you play football in school or?
No.
Any sport at all?
No. Nope.
Did you ever try out for something and be rejected at least?
Oh, several times. Rejection, yeah, that was, yeah.
What was your sport that you didn't quite make?
Football.
I got a guy here sitting right next to you. He'd probably work on your game or something. Were you a tailback or what were you?
I was an end.
So you wide end, right in the stands, right?
Yeah. Right.
And you are?
Dave Farber.
Hi, Dave. I see.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Okay. Let's go there. You must have played. Did you play football?
No.
Basketball?
Yeah, a little basketball.
A little basketball. Who'd you play for?
Archibald Blue Streaks in Ohio.
The Archibald?
Archibald.
Oh, the Archibald Blue Streaks.
Yeah, an Archibald. Yeah.
How are they doing this year, the Blue Streaks?
Lousy.
Yeah. They got to rename them then if they're not. Yep. Correct. Playing a blue streak, then they got to rename that team.
Correct.
Still go to the games and everything?
No.
Not for life. Huh? I thought if you're a blue streak, you're a blue streak for life.
No.
Thank you. And you are?
Larry Hausch.
Thanks for coming. Nice to see you. Thanks for having me here. Okay. Rich Finger has Japanese beetles. What do you know about getting rid of them? You squish them. Rich. Where is Rich? Squish them. I mean, what else would you do with them? You know, but they stink. Yeah, the thing about, I think they're called Asian beetles, by the way, now, because we don't want to point the finger. It is generally they're Asian beetles. But what I, you know, they are ladybug impersonators, which is what the thing that, you know, when I was a kid, the only pets I had were the ladybugs that came in under the windowsill in Milwaukee, my little room. And I'd play with them. We had a little ladybug circus and tie strings to them and put them in water and freeze them outside the window. And cool stuff like that. And you could thaw them out. They would survive that. But then these beetles came in and replaced them, and they are nothing like. Have you noticed that? It's really...
They don't have the same personality.
No, totally different personality. And once again, I'm not saying this is an Asian. It's unfair that they were apparently brought in for some reason, weren't they?
I think so. Yeah, they come in like the north windows in Ohio. That's where we live. But yeah, they infested my daughter's bedroom.
They did.
Yes.
Did she leave as a result of the infestation of the?
She just came back. Yeah.
The beetles will be back, and she'll be gone again.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And if you squish them, they stink. So, you know, it's squish versus stink, really. Rich. Okay? But you've heard that one before. Okay. Are cows really happier in California? No, because they don't get the pot anymore. Thank you for... Thank you for asking. Texting. Why do people text back right away, but when you call right after a text, they won't pick up to talk? Lisa. Lisa? Hi, Lisa. Okay. You were volunteered earlier. I'm going to get you now. She didn't want to be volunteered. Why is she, you know, you should volunteer himself. She was exactly right about that. You know, you have sunglasses on top of your head?
I know.
Do you have to use those once in a while, or you just stay up there permanently?
I don't need them inside.
Okay, that's a good point. Let's see. Lisa. Hey, Lisa. Hey, it's you. Stand up. How are you? Why was he trying to volunteer you earlier?
I don't know. He's from Arizona.
Okay. Yeah. Does that explain it? I guess it does.
That explains it. Okay. Yep.
You know, I don't get this whole texting thing at all, because I'm not a texter, but you're a texter.
Not too much. No.
Yeah. You can't pick this up later in life, I've discovered.
That's right. That's why I'm having trouble.
No, I don't mean you. I meant me, so I don't do it. But what is the thing now? You text them.
Well, my daughter, I'll text my daughter, and she'll text me right back. So I'll quick call her, because I want to talk to her, and I won't hear from her.
Yes.
Nothing.
I know.
It ends.
They don't use it for a phone.
No.
You think a phone is for a phone?
Yes.
My daughter's the same
That's
way.
That's where her, I came from.
My daughter, Nora, her phone rings. She's astounded. First of all, because she's got this heavy metal ringer thing, which is, you know, which she enjoys hearing that, but she will never pick it up and...
So what's up with that?
They don't like actual human contact. The whole generation that doesn't believe in actual human contact, even by voice. You know, so you have to text them or you don't contact them. That's all I can think.
Yep.
Okay, well, I'm glad we settled this. Okay, stop volunteering her.
She's my older sister.
Oh, she's okay.
Older? Thanks a lot.
Ooh, hey, a little family thing going on. How are we doing there time-wise, Norman?
Well, Michael, you have a maximum of 11 minutes.
Thank you, Norman. He's fitting right into this whole thing here. Free and loose Norman Gilliland, we call him. What's up with the ya-no in conversation, Wayne? Wayne? I got the feeling he's around here. Where's Wayne? That's him? I'm glad I didn't leave. I was thinking about leaving this row, and there's... You know, point. Okay, come on, Wayne. What do you mean, yeah, no?
Well, you ever noticed in conversation where, there you go, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, no. One person will be talking to someone else, and in the middle of the conversation, they'll be, yeah, no, and then they'll go on and say something.
Yeah, no.
That's it.
Around here or in Arizona?
You can hear it on the radio when people are interviewed or something. Or
no. Yeah.
You got it.
I don't. You, it's not
irritating when you do it, though.
No, it is. Trust me. Yeah, I know.
Right.
It might be a local. Is it a local thing? No. I mean, people say ya. Yeah. Do they say ya yeah in Arizona? Probably not.
I think so. I think
they're all from here. That's why they do it.
Exactly. You all end up down there eventually.
Yeah. No. Okay. Thanks, Wayne.
No problem.
Sit down now. Right. Okay. I didn't notice we did that. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah.
No. I know. Bill Franz in Cleveland, I think. He's in sales. Will you miss Click and Clack? Yes, I miss them terribly. Clack more than click. But I'm actually willing to take any car questions you have that cannot be answered by click and clack. Because frankly, I can do as good. All I do is laugh at your car auto problems anyway. All these years, they laugh them off. And I can certainly do that with anything up to the early gremlins. Nothing before that, nothing after, actually, come think of it. Pediatric endocrinologist. No, I don't think so. That's the craziest thing you bought at a street fair. I don't know. How do you open up a Swiss bank account, Sandy? Huh? Are you really thinking about it? Yeah, I don't get it either, because if it's an unnumbered account, how do you make a deposit? What do you put on the slip?
I have no idea, and I don't know how much you need to start. Can I put in about $100 and open
a Swiss? I think you can start a Swiss account on 100 kronen.
Okay, well, I'm just looking towards my retirement years, and I thought maybe that would be a good way to start.
Yes. If you could get Romney's account number, you know, and transfer, you know, and...
He won't divulge any of that information. Maybe with this question coming in on a Saturday morning, it's Shabbos, so maybe he'll listen.
Yeah. Shabbos. Definitely on Shabbos, he'll listen. We'll get back to you on this whole Swiss account thing. I have no idea. Anyone have a Swiss account? Why would we have one, really? They give away good things, maybe. They get like a socket wrench on a Swiss account. Krugerrand. You get a Krugerrand wrench. What?
Chocolate.
If you open a Swiss account and you get chocolate. Oh, cool. All right, that's worth doing. What was your favorite radio show when you were 15? Emma Blumreich, a kid at school. Hi, dear. How are you? Stand up, Emma. How are you? Where are you from?
Green Bay.
From Green Bay.
Yep.
Where you go to school?
Notre Dame Academy.
Who's?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame Academy?
Yep.
The Fighting...
No, that's the, Tridens.
Tridens?
Yeah.
The Fighting Tridens. Tridens?
Tridens.
It's a gum, isn't it?
No, like T-R-I-T-O-N-S.
Triton. What are they?
Like, I don't know, like a merman?
Fighting mermans? Notre Dame mermans? Like?
Sure.
Yeah, good. And are you in sports or anything out there?
No.
No?
That's my sister.
She's in sports. What are you in?
Gymnastics,
of course. Did you try gymnastics? Didn't care for it?
Yeah.
You musical?
Not really.
No.
Don't really have any talents.
Oh, you certainly do. What's your favorite thing in school, for example?
Lunch.
I like it, Emma. And what was your favorite radio show when you were 15? Do you have one now?
Well, I like This American Life.
This American Life? Oh, yeah. You do, really. You listen to public radio. That's unusual.
Yeah.
And then when you listen to music, what do you listen to?
Usually 106.7.
What kind of stuff is that?
Just like indie stuff.
Yeah. And of that, who's your favorite currently?
Right now, Decemberists.
Oh, Decemberists.
Yeah.
You're pretty advanced. You got advanced. You got good taste.
It's her birthday.
And it's your birthday.
Yep.
Holy cow, it's her birthday. Emma Blumreich. What do we have for her birthday, Norman Gilliland?
Well, Michael, I think we could arrange for, how about the Sports and Spirit T-shirt from Appleton's History Museum at the castle?
How about something good?
Well, then, how about Lewis Robinson's Officer Friendly and Other Stories from Random House, some good reading in between lunches at
school.
All right,
I'm going to give you one more try. Got to be something in there. She's a 15-year-old girl.
All right, let's see. Okay, how about this?
Yes.
A Jazz at the Wharton Center black polo shirt from Wharton Center, East Lansing.
Okay, you get all that stuff and wear them alternately. Thanks for coming in. Thank you, too. We're going to play the One You Know quiz. A chance for you to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. And I get you to stand up here and do this. You are...
Susan Finks from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hey, Susan. Thanks for making the trip. Do the honors.
The four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. And frankly, I'm relieved that the lawn is dead. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Everyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Very well done. Thank you very much. A little souvenir of your visit. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the quiz. Yes. Don't be raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you do this or this. If you want to play the quiz, if you... That is the most tentative... I mean, I used to teach school. That's why I stopped, you know, because my hand raised like that. Exactly. You are?
Gary Retzak.
Are you sure about this?
No.
You get that feeling you want to come back and think about it, or...?
No, we'll go ahead.
Okay, give me one good reason you should play this quiz, Gary.
I have no idea. My wife raised my hand for me, so that's probably the best reason. Yeah. I do whatever she tells me.
Okay, well, let's try and get you away from that a little bit here and give you a little space here. Yeah, come on up here, Gary. Yeah, right. Have a seat right there. Right there, Gary.
I don't have to play piano after this, do I?
No, you don't.
Oh, thank you.
Tell me about your childhood, if you like. I'd be happy to hear it. So, Gary, where are you from?
Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
Manitowoc. Beautiful Manitowoc. And what are you involved in up there in Manitowoc?
I'm still working. I work for a company, can I say, on the radio?
Sure.
Okay. Work for a company named Orion Energy Systems.
Oh, Orion Energy.
Too late. Can't take it back.
Orion Energy. What do they do, Orion Energy?
We make energy-efficient lighting for factories, warehouses, and those kinds of things. And,
oh, cool.
And control systems.
And your end of that is?
I'm the director of training.
Oh, so you direct the training then.
Means I'm a a one-man training band.
Your training band?
Well, I'm the only person that does training there for the most part.
So. Really? So you have to train everyone in every department?
Mostly train salespeople, customer service people.
What's number one in sales? Number one?
Number one product?
No, the number one when you're training these guys, number one.
Oh, number one thing.
Number one.
Well, I do mostly the technical training.
But number one, you guys, number one.
You got to know your product.
Know your product, okay?
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of these guys don't understand.
Exactly.
They go in there, they haven't even done the research on what they're getting into.
Exactly.
Yeah. You got to know your product. Okay. Number two is what?
Number two is sell, and always always be closing.
Always be closing.
ABC.
Yeah. Well, to me, Gary, I would say, if it was me doing it, I would say know your product, number one. Number two, know your customer.
That would be number three in my book. But
number
okay.
three?
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
But you're probably right.
No, okay. I've never sold anything in my life, so I have no sales skills or something like that. You had to be born, really, with some of that, right? Mm-hmm. Because you got to believe in the product, you got to know the product, you got to know your customer.
Exactly.
And then you got to do the other thing you said.
Yes. Yeah. All that stuff.
Sell.
Always be closing.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Always be closing. Cool. You said yeah, I'm still working. Are you nearing retirement? Are you looking forward to?
A couple years yet. Yeah.
Couple years, yeah.
I'm having too much fun doing what I'm doing.
Oh, that's cool.
To retire.
That's cool.
Kind of like you, I suppose.
I don't see how, but if you say so, Gare. Start with me. So if they would play along with you on this quiz we're about to have here, how do they do that, Norman?
Well, Michael, if they want to play the quiz, yeah, they're going to pick up the phone, uh-huh, dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW. And answer this qualifying question.
It's funnier when you say it. Isn't that funny? Don't expect Norman to say that kind of thing.
That's it.
Norman Gilliland. Okay, here's the question. Sitting for more than 3 hours a day can do what to your life expectancy? This was sort of mentioned obliquely in the opening monologue, which is always oblique, come to think of it. Sitting for more than 3 hours a day can do what to your life expectancy? Been in the news all around the place. So go to the phones right now, call in there, and that, you know the number. And it's Peggy from Nashville. Hey, Peggy, it's been a while.
Oh, yes, Michael, it's been a while.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
I sure am. I'm working on a painting for the Tennessee State Museum.
You're working on a painting for what?
The Tennessee State Museum.
Oh, you are. Yeah. What are you painting this time?
It's the McCampbell House in Donelson near the airport. It's old, built in 1790.
Whoa, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, how's it going?
Oh, it's going. I'm bringing it on to the finish line here. It's looking real good. I'm real excited about it.
Are you out there now? You paint on site, don't you? Out there?
I paint on site. I'm not there right now. It's raining here now.
Oh, it is. You're lucky.
Yeah.
We haven't had rain since I'm up here.
Yeah, we got a nice cool front.
Okay, Peggy, sitting for more than 3 hours a day can do what to your life expectancy, according to all of
it? It can shorten it.
Oh. Okay.
It could lengthen it.
All right. No, shorten it. Any idea how you could shorten it? How long or what?
It would shorten it by. I think it could shorten it by as many as several years. I think it's really
meaning two.
A couple of years at least.
Yes. Okay. That's right, Peggy. All right, Peggy. You haven't qualified for the quiz in a while, have you?
I have not. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever qualify for the quiz? We've talked.
I did. I have in years past, even a couple of times or at least once.
Okay. Well, that's good enough for me. Peggy, this is Gary.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Jerry.
I've never qualified.
Try and sell her some an implement. See what you how would you approach Peggy with?
I'd probably want to meet her in person. I'm kind of a relationship building type of person.
Oh, okay.
So I'd want to meet her in person. And then if I was going to sell her one of our lighting products, I'd demonstrate it to her and explain all the reasons she should buy it, save energy, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Wow. You qualified here.
What would your opening line be to her? Have you thought about your lighting needs or do you want to save money?
It would be, hi, Peggy.
Yeah. He's good.
I'm a relationship guy, like
I
said.
Oh, yeah, okay, fine. Tell it to the judge.
Yeah.
All right, Gary and Peggy, you two are a team right now. You work together. And Norman, what categories have we?
Well, Michael, the categories are people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, current events, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Current events we should put first, and then all the others come after that. It's not your fault. Mike Arnold screwed up the whole list of...
That Mike, he's so unreliable.
He is, totally.
We'll have to work on him.
Okay. Those are the categories. Peggy, I'll let you pick the first one. What would you like to...
Things we should have learned in school.
Okay. Had you been paying attention?
That's the same one I would have picked.
Work.
All right. Ketchup. Ketchup comes out of the bottle at what speed? 0.028 miles per hour, 0.029 miles per hour, or 0.030 miles per hour? Talk it over now.
Peggy, have you done any research on ketchup?
No. There's a great joke about it from Pulp Fiction. About the little baby tomato, and the papa tomato said, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And then he rolled over the baby tomato, and then he said, ketchup.
Yeah. That's one of the best. That's out of Pulp Fiction, did you say?
That's out of Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, that was one of the highlights of Pulp Fiction for me.
That was a highlight of Pulp Fiction, but I didn't tell it right.
Very much. That and the needle in the chest, I think, were the two highlights.
Doesn't depend on the brand. I know usually when I turn the ketchup bottle over the first time you squirt it, you get a lot of water out.
This is not, the glass bottle.
Glass bottle ketchup.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Peggy?
0.028, 0.029, or 0.030 miles per hour.
I'm kind of inclined towards the slowest one.
Oh, that's 0.028?
Yeah, 0.028. How about you, Peggy?
I think that's right.
Yes, 0.028 miles per hour. Very good. Slower than a Galapagos turtle. Far slower. Norman, score.
One right.
Way to go.
You're getting it. You're getting it.
You are higher math, but yeah. I'm working on it.
You're getting it. Okay, what's left there, Norman?
Well, let's see. That's
those other categories there, except for the one they just picked there. Which was...
Yeah, that would have been odds and ends.
No, that was school.
It wasn't current events, although it could
have
been.
No, that was
okay, school. So remaining categories are people, places, and let's see, current events and science and odds and ends.
That's it. Okay.
Plenty to choose from.
Yeah. Gary?
Science?
Science it is. All right. All right. Babies who spend time around one of the following have fewer ear infections. So it's babies who spend time around dogs, cats, or other babies have fewer ear infections, according to the Pediatrics Journal, which I get, I subscribe to. I don't know why. It's been years.
I hear a lot of discussion in the audience.
Is there?
It must be. A lot of people know this. Peggy, how about you?
Well, I love dogs. I have a little dog at my foot right here. And I haven't had an ear infection in a long time.
But you've had a lot of foot infections.
Well, Peggy, my dog died about 3 years ago, and I haven't had any ear infection since then either, so I'm not sure how much water that holds. But
that kind of negates the whole
We're talking about babies now. Babies who spend time around dogs, cats, or other babies have fewer ear infections.
I'm still inclined towards the dogs, I think.
Dogs?
Yeah,
okay.
Peggy?
Dogs?
Yeah, I say dogs.
Yeah, dogs. They don't know why. I guess if they lick you enough, it's, preventive.
That's two right then, Michael.
Any wrong, Norman?
None yet.
Okay. Wow. What remains then,
the suspense is really up there, though. Remaining categories are people, places, current events, and odds and ends.
Okay, cool.
Ooh.
Peggy?
People. How about people?
People is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is a host of sins. The most disliked office activity for males. Is it the office baby shower, the boss's birthday, or the Dundies? The Dundee Awards, or the stupid awards that the boss might give out in a mock, sort of generous fashion.
The most disliked thing among bosses?
The most disliked office activity for males, male office workers, the thing they hate most that goes on in an office, you know, above and beyond the work.
Yes.
Is it the office baby shower, the boss's birthday, or the Dundies, or the silly awards thing that the boss thinks is funny?
Mm-hmm. Well, Terry, what do you think?
Well, I guess being somewhat of an expert, being a male, I would probably have chosen the baby shower. But
that was my first thought, was the baby shower.
Okay, that's her first thought too. You want to go with your first thought, everybody?
Yes.
Should we?
Yes.
Sure. Why not?
Okay. All right.
Fine.
Yeah.
I don't care if you win or lose.
Okay.
It could have been something else, like maybe the Dundies.
No. I'm saying go with your instinct.
I think number one.
Yes, the office baby shower. Not a male thing in general. What do you bring a baby for a baby shower? Well, you bring, I don't know what to get, you know.
We're really good at this, Peggy.
Get a onesie or something.
I've never been to a baby shower.
Or a pack of onesies. You get a pack, three onesies.
No camels.
So now they've won the quiz, Norman.
That would
they
be three
quit.
Right. They can.
They could quit right here, but they could go on for the mother load.
The mother load. Is there a bonus round?
Let's go for the mother
there
load.
Is.
Yes. How do they do that, then, Norman?
Well, let me see.
If you don't know, I can tell you.
Answer the next two questions right, or we lose the whole shebang.
She has done this.
Yeah, thank you very much, Peggy. So do you want to do that? You want to go on? You get two questions right, you win everything. You get either one of those wrong, and you can go away with nothing.
What do you think, Terry?
Oh, gosh. Well, let's go for it, Peggy.
still on.
All right, there you go. Very exciting. Very exciting. And what remains as far as categories, Norman?
The remaining categories, Michael, would be current events and odds and ends.
Oh, really? There's another third one, too?
Is there another one?
Do we do places?
Places.
That's current events, right. Places, and?
Current events and odds and ends.
And places.
Yes.
Any of those. Pick any of those.
I'll pick odds and ends.
Odds and ends. This could be anything. Let's see if it is. Yes. Do albino lobsters turn red in the pot?
Oh, what a question. Poor lobsters.
Poor lobsters, yeah. Do we have to win both of these?
Yeah, I got to get both of these right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Do albino lobsters.
Pressure's on. I didn't realize it was such a high-pressure show.
It is.
It is. Okay.
Do albino lobsters turn red in the pot?
Heavens, if I was an albino lobster, I was put in a pot, I kind of think I might turn red.
You think so?
I think I might, but on the other hand, I'd be missing the little gene pigment thing that makes me turn red.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what
that's
I was thinking.
Thinking about, too, if you're going to be this
albino lobster. No pigment, no red.
I say no, they don't turn red. They don't turn red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's thought this through pretty.
Yeah, she has. And I agree with you. There are no pigment. No
yeah,
red.
No, they don't. They don't. Okay. So that's, you never know when they're done. That's really the problem.
I bet they do.
Why are you looking at your watch, Norman? Look, what's the score?
The score is 4 right and none wrong, Michael.
Okay, this is it then, right?
This is it for the mother load. Yes. Make it or break it. All or nothing.
So what remains then?
Remaining categories are current events and one more.
Places?
People.
Places.
Yeah.
Places.
So how do you keep the ring cycle straight if you can't do it?
Right. I don't know, but we've got a minute to
like?
Do it.
What would you like?
Places?
Places? Okay. Oh, no, you don't want places. What's the other one?
Okay.
Current events.
Current events.
Current events.
Okay, here you go. Miley Cyrus, now her new tattoo is a quote from one of the following. Is it from Teddy Roosevelt, the Dalai Lama, or Frank Ocean? Miley Cyrus, new tattoo, is a rather long quote from one of the following. Teddy Roosevelt, Dalai Lama, Frank Ocean, need an answer.
10 Peggy. Seconds.
Teddy Roosevelt?
Yes.
Yes,
that's right. Oh, my God. Teddy Roosevelt. Miley Cyrus. Who would have thought?
Lots of things.
What the way?
Lots of stuff. Lots of stuff.
What the way?
All kinds of things, Michael. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international.
But what do they win?
You really want to know?
You know, each week at this time, we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners and the occasional letters and what have you and things that people send in. For example, Gary sent this and he said, "Hi, Michael, I drove through Kissimmee. All right. Okay. Gone back and forth with this for about 10, 15, 20 years now.
It's a Florida thing.
Yeah.
They say
how do you say it again?
Well, Kissimmee by day, but kiss me by night is what they used to say.
Oh, yeah, I used to say that. Are you from Florida?
I am.
Yes, oh, you are. Mm-hmm. I know that. Where are you from?
Gainesville, Florida.
Gainesville or Gainesville? Gainesville.
Gainesville.
Okay. I didn't know that. Anyhow, Gary says, I drove through
Kissimmee.
And saw the food truck bazaar sign again. No, I'm not resending the lengthy quote from a web page. I took a slightly different route on the return trip, and I saw a Wawa under construction. This is in Mitt Romney discovered the Wawa on his bus tour. Remember that? Where they have these hoagies. And he said, it's all automated. He says, you push this button, you push that button, you push this button, out comes your hoagie. And he was very excited about that. So there's a Wawa under construction near Kissimmee. So when Mitt Romney comes politicking to Florida again, we'll be ready. So thanks, Gary, for that. This is a random thing. It's a little visual, I guess, for the radio. From the listener on vacation in Oregon, Feldman centerpiece brightens up dinner. Here is a Feldman bobblehead at a table setting. Looks like a fruit platter. It's on top of a fruit platter holding a strawberry. Thank you very much. Here's the actual memo sent in by an actual listener. That's from Employee Services Department, which used to be Human Resources until they resourced it, I guess. I guess Human Resources always sounded weird. Before that, it was what? It was, Personnel. Personnel, or what's the other name for personnel?
People.
People. So that wasn't good enough. So they went to human resources. It sounds like something you mine. You know, and they're really, we're out there mining human resources. We got cubic yards of it. You know, I mean, cubic yards of human. So that didn't sound. So now they're employee services. Anyhow, this is the memo. Hello. As warmer weather approaches, we wanted to remind staff of our dress code policy and the importance of providing our customers a positive first impression. Here is a highlight of the policy related to warmer weather clothing. Skirt lengths will be no more than 2 inches above the knee. Conservative necklines shall be worn on tops, shirts, and blouses. A conservative neckline is defined as one in which breast cleavage is not visible, and no more than one button is open at the collar. Professional dresses and tops may be sleeveless, provided the clothing is not casual wear. Men's shirts should have collars. Short tops that expose the abdomen while standing or bending will not be permitted. Men wearing dress shirts will wear ties. Men's dress polo shirts and collared sports shirts are allowed without a tie. Men's shirts will be tucked into pants. Undergarments must be worn but should not be visible through clothing. Any fabric providing visibility through the clothing requires a slip or liner. Jumpsuits, capris, and culottes are not allowed. No culottes. Remember culottes? I haven't heard that word in a long time.
Probably no pedal pushers either.
No pedal pushers, but culottes. Culottes. Used to have those in my day, in junior high school. You have culottes in your school? Did you ever hear a culotte? No. No, okay. Yeah, what about a skirt? You have skorts?
Oh, yeah,
there's skorts, but there's no culottes. Okay, you got to draw a line somewhere. No painter's pants, bib overalls, jeans, sweatpants, shorts, or casual pants are allowed. The stockings or socks must be worn at all times. Hosiery must be worn with skirts and dresses. Socks may be worn with slacks. Shoes will be in good repair. Well, they will they? Choice of verbs. Shoes will be in good repair. Well, that's good to know. Clean, polished, and have clean laces. Dress sandals and open-toed dress shoes are allowed for non-nursing staff. I don't know if that means while you're nursing or... but only with hosiery or stockings. Noisy shoes are not allowed. Huh?
You have noisy shoes.
I have noisy shoes, yes. I think this is
constitutional. But they are in good repair.
That's a constitutional question, noisy shoes. They are in good repair. The dress code policy applies when attending meetings and training sessions. Please refer to policy stat for full dress code policy, 1404 dress code policy. You may contact your director with questions. Regards. There you have it. Thank you so much for that. I hope it clears up everything. It does not really address men showing cleavage of any sort. But that's a question you like to bring up a lot of times, you know. Reach a certain age, a man has kinds of cleavage you didn't know he had before. Where can they send these memos and letters, and how do they do that there?
Michael, they can send those memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or you can go to, that's memos, M-E-M-O-S.
Yeah, okay.
Or you can go to notmuch.com and post it there, yeah. Or you can mail it to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Using the mail?
You can.
Oh, okay.
What's it up to? 46 cents now, though.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
You can mail it to 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
Yeah.
And then there's also, let's see,
you
Facebook.
Can post it on Facebook, I suppose, right. If you wanted to.
Facebook is another way to do it.
Yeah.
And then there's also the tweet Twitter option, is there not?
The tweet Twitter option?
Mm-hmm.
What is that then, Norman?
Well, let's see. That would be Twitter at my... Feldman, what does that say?
Can't even say it, can you?
I can say it, I just can't read it.
Yeah. At my Feldman. Yeah, that's my that's
Twitter.
My
at Twitter. My Feldman.
Yeah, okay. One word, my Feldman. At my Feldman, you know.
So all
do
those...
You, do you tweet?
I do not.
Okay. Are you thinking about it?
No, I haven't even... I mean, I don't twick and I don't tweet.
Okay.
Past all of that.
All right, thanks, Norman. I take you now to Milwaukee, and I leave you there, ladies and gentlemen. And you'll do fairly well. Hoarding. A lot of, you know, the show's on TV and about hoarding. Any of you hoarders here care to admit it? Do we have any hoarders in the house? How about coveters? keepers of things. If you don't want to call yourself a hoarder, do you keep a lot of stuff? Huh? Anybody here keep a lot of stuff? Got a lot of stuff? Keep it? Huh? Okay. In Milwaukee, there is a place called Tony's Hoarder World, where hoarders can get together and have a good time. No, she has everything everyone else is hoarded. She's managed to pry away some of it, and she's got it right there at Tony's Hoarder World. It's down there in Milwaukee downtown. And she's on the line with us right now, and here she is. Tony, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Where are you right now?
Well, I'm driving in the car. I'm in DeForest right now.
Oh, you're in DeForest. Are you looking for goods and services?
Absolutely.
You're on a hunt?
I'm on a hunt.
Do you actually go to hoarders and try to pry away some of their stuff? It would be good for them, probably, and good for you.
Every once in a while, but I like to let loose things.
Yeah. Okay. In your own shop there in Milwaukee, that's right where the paintball, your husband's a paintball guy, where all the guys have their bridal showers. I mean, their boys' things for getting married, right? Paintball
right.
guy?
Yes.
That's what I was just saying. What's that called?
It's Paintball Dave.
Paintball
Dave?
Oh, Paintball Dave. Dave is your husband. You're quite a couple, really, when you think about it. And then you got the shop right in that same building there?
I do. I took over his front office and two other
people. Yeah. And what kind of stuff have you... You're breaking up a little bit here, Tony. Are you're on the road right now, driving?
Can you hear me better?
Yes.
Okay.
What did you do?
I put the phone close to my mouth.
You know, Gary would tell you that because he's in personnel and he training stuff. And put the phone next to your mouth. What have you got there now, for example, in your shop? I know you got some pretty unusual items that normally wouldn't be offered to the public because people have saved these things.
Yeah, I have anything from prosthetic eyes.
Prosthetic eyes?
Correct.
Okay.
To the mermaid, believe it or not, and furniture, anything you can think of in my shop.
Okay, I couldn't even think of those two things there. That we got the prosthetic eyes, and the other thing is what? There's something about a mermaid?
The Mermaid of Fiji.
Mermaid?
From Ripley's, Believe It or Not.
What do you have of theirs?
I have the Mermaid of Fiji. She was a knot.
Was she?
Yeah.
Still, after all these years. That's amazing.
Yep.
Okay, and then what else you got there that's of special interest?
We have a Damascus sword from World War II, a German officer sword.
Swords?
Swords. We have the Wienermobile pedal car.
A pedal? Oh, see, now there's something. Now you struck a chord. A Wienermobile pedal car. That's cool.
There we've got toys. We have old steamer trunks. Records.
You've got it all, I would say. Probably there at Tony's Hoarder World.
Yes.
Okay. Are you a hoarder yourself, Tony? Do you save everything?
I would like to say no, but I think that all my relatives will call and tell you other.
Yeah, well put. Tony, I'm going to let you go now on your way. We're going to have some people call in, some actual hoarders I'm hoping to attract now and tell us what they have collected all these years, and we'll see how that works out, too. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Well, thank you.
Tony Rudig for Tony's Hoarder World in Milwaukee on North Broadway. You go down there and you hoard. Okay. And that's the opening salvo here. We'd like to hear from actual hoarders. Now, you know, maybe, I hope it's not considered a derogatory term. Do you think so, Norman?
There was some debate about that before the show, Michael.
Oh, there was. I'm sorry to hear there's ever debate before a show.
Well, yeah, I think it all has to do with context, though.
Yes, exactly.
And it's the tone of voice you use when you point at the person and accuse them.
Of hoarding.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How about keepers of things, people who keep a lot of stuff? I know they're out there, and maybe they save some stuff, and you know, and they sort of live on the fringes of it, that sort of person.
That's fine.
Okay. Oversaver.
What number would they call in if they are such a person?
That number,
yes.
Michael, would be...
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute.
I know there's a number.
It's not here. Oh, wait. Yeah. Let's try, if people want to call in.
Yes, right.
And share their experiences of keeping things.
Keeping things, yeah.
That would be the 800-942-5669 or 1-800-WANO or 1-800-WACK-NOW.
It sounds like a command when you say it. You have that commanding voice.
We'll see if it works.
We're looking for people now. If you are, if you want to say hoarder, it's, that's fine. Maybe that's pejorative and, you know, a negative thing. But, you know, if you, you keep a lot of stuff. You know, you don't throw stuff away. You keep stuff. You, lots of stuff. You know, maybe you keep it in your house. Maybe you keep it in your garage. Maybe you keep it on your person. Let's go to the phones right now. We're getting some people, keepers. Let's call them keepers, people who are keepers. Dusty is calling up from Joplin, Missouri. And Dusty, are you a keeper?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, huh. I'm an attempted hoarder.
You are? What,
yeah.
What prevents
yeah.
you from being a complete hoarder?
Well, years and years ago, I had a house fire,
mm-hmm.
and that was the end of that.
Oh, I see. I cleared out that hoard anyway. Huh?
And then, you know, I'm in Joplin, Missouri,
mm-hmm.
and so I had a bunch of my stuff in the tornado.
Uh-huh.
And
oh,
that was
yeah.
the end of that.
Oh, boy. Do you think
so,
God...
So
you know,
I'm looking for contributions.
Yeah.
I will, you know.
All your stuff is gone. It must have been a bloaty. You think maybe it's a divine intervention or something and all the stuff
well,
you're saying?
Well, hey, you know, he's looking out for me.
Yeah,
what can
yeah.
I say?
What, have you started rebuilding your hoard?
Slightly.
Slightly, yeah. Is
yeah,
it just...
go ahead.
No, is it just an unwillingness to let anything go or throw anything away, or what's the thinking?
Well, actually, yeah. I mean, you never know when you're going to need it.
That's it. Okay. All right.
That's mainly it. I mean, you know, I've got everything from a kiln to a Geiger counter.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know when you're going to need a Geiger counter.
No, or a kiln, really. And do you save like things like nuts and bolts and washers and bent nails and things to the, on that level, or is it?
I am not that bad.
Okay, all right. My mother used to save every bent nail. So I still have
yeah,
a little
like,
yeah, in a cigar box.
Yeah, the last place I worked, he was bad about that. I mean,
yeah.
you'd have a bolt that was missing the head and all the threads were rusted off of it. Oh well, you better save that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The hell are you thinking?
All right, Dusty, thank you. You got us off on the right foot here.
Hey, thanks a bunch. Right. You have a great day, Mike.
Take care. You too. Eric's on the line from Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how are you doing, Michael?
Good. Yourself?
Very good. Very good.
Are you a keeper of things?
Yeah, somewhat reformed.
You have?
I made the mistake of renting a 7,000-square-foot warehouse.
And then you feel you got to fill it, right? 7,000 square
feet? Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Some good came of it. At one point, I filled it up with 1,000 glass blocks. And when I lost my job, I sold it and made a mortgage payment with it. So there's some good things about keeping stuff.
You made it from the glass blocks, or did you sell
yep.
the building?
I sold the glass blocks.
Yeah.
I still have the building.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. So is that what you do then? You look for things that you can turn around, flip glass blocks?
No, this was purely accidental.
How did you...
It just stuff I should want to keep.
I mean, someone just came to you with 1,000 glass blocks and say, hey,
yeah,
want to buy
yeah,
glass
actually,
blocks?
I was working with a friend who was renovating a school, and he was tearing them out for his job and said, hey, Eric, do you want these glass blocks? And I'm like... Yeah.
Naturally, who wouldn't?
I've got room for them, so.
That's pretty good. So they were, like, free, or did you have to pay them?
Well, I had to go and get them.
You had to go and get them. Okay, there's that. That's the same thing with bricks and stuff.
Yeah, bricks I don't keep. There's too many of them around here.
Yeah, but, you know, they're usually free, but you got to go and get them, and that's a
home. Right, but, right, yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool. So now what's in the warehouse now?
Actually, a whole lot less. I'm trying to clear it out so I can rent space and collect rent for people on it.
Yeah.
But recently I took two tons of steel out of there and sold it, loaded it on my one-ton truck and took it down to the scrapyard and sold it. So that was a good thing.
Did you make two trips or what?
No, one trip.
Really? How are your springs?
Springs?
Yeah. Good answer.
Am I supposed to have those now?
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, my pleasure.
You've been a big help.
Yep, thanks. Bye.
I appreciate it. Bye. Okay, Mark. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're in Switzerland?
Yes, I am in Bern, Switzerland.
Come on, you're making this up.
No, I'm not. I'm the host of the Blues Zeppelin on Swiss Community Radio.
Oh.
And I'm a regular listener to What Do You Know?
Well, thank you. Thank you. And may I say you... You speak English very well, Mark.
Well, I'm from New York. I used to be a researcher at the University of Wisconsin, Madison, in 1985, and I was in the audience.
But you know what? I mean, for being from New York, you speak English very well.
Thank you.
And now yes. Are you a hoarder as well, Mark?
Well, I'm hoarding Swiss francs at the moment.
You are. You're hoarding Swiss francs.
Yeah, and what prompted me to call was this woman who was looking to open a Swiss bank account. I'd like to help her out.
Oh, we can do that. Can you do that for her?
Sure, why not?
Is there a minimum, and do you get, like, socket wrenches or anything, or chocolates or something?
No, but I have to make it clear that the U.S. government has put in some banking rules that Swiss banks are not opening accounts for Americans.
Oh, no. Oh, they aren't?
No,
so does she have to change nationality first, or?
Yes, a lot of Americans actually are giving up U.S. citizenship if they live abroad.
Are you willing to do that?
No.
No, she's not willing. I guess we got no deal here. Mark.
Okay, but she could send me the money, and I'll open the account.
Yeah. All right, Mark. Thanks for calling. We appreciate that.
That's it.
Nice talking to you. Oh, I'm sorry. Betty's in Concord, North Carolina, and Betty, are you a keeper of things?
Oh, my gosh, yes, I am, Michael, and I can't believe that I got through.
Yes, it's unbelievable. what do you keep? Tell me your situation.
Well, since I was very young, growing up poor, I've learned to keep everything, and we furnished my son's first apartment through what we were able to keep, and family, and we've now started furnishing the grandchildren's bedrooms with things we've kept.
Yeah, and where do you keep it all?
In attics, piled up in extra bedrooms, and stuffed in drawers and closets, and wherever we need to keep it, because we know somebody in the family will eventually need it.
Yes. Do you have room to live in your house? Is there actually, in your living room, is there room to live?
Well, I have more room now because they've all moved out.
Yeah. So you had to move the kids out, actually, just have more room for things.
Yes, exactly. But I'm sort of like a lot of people now, things are not as important.
Things are not as important, no, right. But they don't get up and go like kids do, so.
Yeah, exactly. And besides, I got to get rid of my things so I can have room for my grandbabies.
Yeah. Is it all a problem for you, Betty, or in terms of, you know, have you been gone to counseling about it or anything like that, where you need to get rid of some of this stuff just to, you know, make your life a little more manageable?
No, I used to be like that. I used to hoard paid receipts from all my bills until my aunt came over to help me one day and told me how crazy I was. And said I could just get rid of everything except for the last month. And when my check cleared, I could get rid of that. And I went bingo.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a light bulb going off, and that's helped since.
Yeah. Do you save the light bulbs, by the way, speaking of that?
No, but I'm trying to hoard the old ones because I don't like the new ones.
Me? I'm with you on that one. Yeah. They keep burning out, for one thing. What about frozen? Have you got, like, freezers stuff with frozen things?
No, but I do have a problem with my pantry. Thank goodness I haven't seen any of what they call pantry bugs, but I will go in to bake a cake and find out how old my flour is when it doesn't work.
Your flour doesn't work?
No, because I don't tend to renew things in my pantry as I should. I opened a jar of salsa, and I didn't think it ever would go bad about a week ago. And oh, my goodness, I wouldn't have fed it to the squirrels.
No. So you had to get rid of the salsa and the flour. So you have some things you've given up on.
Yes, I don't feel so bad anymore. I just let it go. I kind of learned to let it be, as the Beatles say.
Very, very good, Betty. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Nice talking with you. Okay. We got Shirley here. Shirley's in Kansas City. Shirley, similar experience to Betty's? Or?
No. My husband.
Your husband.
Oh, he drives me bananas.
Okay. How so?
He collects records, We have more records than the public library ever had. We have 30,000 selections. My storage rooms are just packed with records.
30,000?
LPs. Victrola records, 45s. I mean, really collectibles.
Yeah.
But I want to scream. And then he loves books, which I love books too.
Sure.
But there's a limit. You know?
How many books do you have? You ever count those?
Oh, mercy. They're in boxes after boxes. Yeah. Everything's in storage rooms because we do have lots of storage in our home, but it drives me bananas.
Yeah, yeah. So you mean storage rooms? You mean like bedrooms? Or no?
No. They're storage rooms.
You have storage rooms?
Yes, storage rooms. Mm. A lot of storage in our home.
Yeah.
Mercy. If I had them in my bedrooms or my house, I would just about scream because I like things very tidy.
Yeah.
So I tuck them away.
Yeah.
He's got the garage literally packed. So I'm wanting to get rid of all the stuff.
Yeah.
He has beer bottles, beer cans.
Full or empty? Full or empty?
Pardon me?
Are they full or empty?
They're empty.
Oh, they're empty. Okay. And did he drink them all before he had all these empties? Or is that significant?
Yes.
He did. Okay. All right.
Before I came into his life.
Yeah. Now he's just got the empties. Okay. And are they're collectible empties?
He thinks they are. I don't think so. I would love to just dump them.
Yeah. I mean, Pabst Blue Ribbon. You see quite a few of them around, you know. And,
yeah. No, he's got Red Top beer.
Oh.
And he's a lot older than me.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
I'm old enough to be his daughter.
You mean you're young enough to be his daughter?
I mean, young enough to be his daughter.
Yeah.
I'm as old as his son.
You are? Okay.
Yes, but we've been together 40 years, though.
40 years, so you've gotten older in the course of things.
Yes, I've gotten older. He met me when I was quite, quite young.
Okay, but, we don't need to go into all of this. what's your husband's name, Shirley?
Ralph.
Ralph. Is he there? Is that why we're whispering Ralph?
Well, he's had several strokes.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm taking care of him with his strokes.
Oh, dear.
But he knows these things have driven me crazy over the years.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I love him dearly,
And so you can't really get rid of the stuff. You know, it could affect his...
These are things... And, of course, we have an antique Victrola.
Yeah.
A 1921 Lowboy French Victrola. So,
those are nice ones, yeah, Lowboys.
But I mean, so he can play his Victrola records and all... But, I mean, they are valuable. I mean, it is... He's got all of his Gellingtons... collection on LPs and things like that.
Oh, yeah, cool. Did he buy and sell these things, too? Does he ever sell some off and buy some?
Oh, no.
Move them and put them on the internet?
He should go and buy them. And who knows, we probably have duplicates of all I know.
Yeah. Okay. Shirley, thank you very much for that. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
And best of luck to you out there. Kansas City. Now, one more here. We got Larry's been waiting. He's in Arkansas, Mayflower, Arkansas. Hey, Larry, there?
Hey, yes. Wow.
How's it going? Yeah.
I've been trying to get on for 87 years.
No kidding. Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Time flies.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah. Are you a keeper of things or a hoarder, if you want to call it that?
I need help.
You do?
I've got four storage buildings at my house.
Four
I've got
storage
buildings. A couple of storage units full. Mm. I bought a 14 by 70 used mobile home a couple of years ago, and now it is completely full. My wife won't let me keep anything in the house. So
you're lucky she keeps you in the house at this point.
I'm very lucky. Very lucky.
Yeah, yeah. And what's in all this? What do you got in there, Larry?
Oh, you name it. I started collecting toys that I never got as a kid.
Cool. And, that's cool. I can relate to that. Yeah.
Then I had a whole bunch of those, and then I found eBay and found out I can make money, so I'd rather have the money than the old toys.
Yeah.
So then I just started buying stuff I thought I could sell, but I buy it quicker than I can sell it.
Oh, I see. Is it is still in the toy area, or are you on the small engines and tools and
anything,
furniture? And
I don't do furniture. People don't want to pay shipping on furniture. So
No.
But small stuff. But yeah. I've got a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Do you have an inventory? Do you even know what you've got?
Absolutely not. No.
Yeah.
One thing I did, though, I collect old-time radio shows. I've probably got 20 or 30,000 old-time radio shows, and I finally put those on CD. So I've narrowed those down to about a couple hundred CDs.
Okay, old-time radio shows. Do you have the old-time radios as well and all the other?
I have one old-time radio, and I'm going to convert it to play my CD old-time radio shows so I can fake pretend I'm back in the good old days.
Yeah, well, this is all working out for you.
So far, in
the final end.
Yeah, except that the mobile home has been like 2 years. I haven't been in it, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't even know what's in there anymore.
What anything really exotic you got in there, or strange, or?
Now, probably snakes, raccoons, that kind of thing.
Snakes and raccoons that are just in your storage buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Can't keep them out.
No.
They can smell a bargain.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry.
I can smell them. All right,
thanks,
thank
Larry.
You, man.
There
Bye.
You have it. Mayflower, Arkansas, Larry. He needs help. But he's doing all right. Little thing there on hoarding and keeping stuff. Okay. What did we learn, John? Anything?
Oh, this is...
Yes? What?
A lot of illnesses in the world.
Yeah, I suppose so. There is, it's sort of a thing.
But some of those were like not really hoarders; they were like collectors.
Collectors that get out of hand, though. That's sort of
When you start to collect the nails and old, newspapers that nobody cares about.
But see, there's that old the people who went through the Depression kind of mentality where you save every stick and every nail because you can always unbend a nail. And you never know when you need that a screw like that or something.
But when it starts collapsing down on top of you, then I think that's the time to, like, get professional help.
Okay. Thank you. This has been a public service of Wisconsin Public Radio.
There's no
Were
cure.
Were there an actual national emergency, you'd be advised to tune to Comrade.
There's no cure, but there is hope.
No cure, there's hope. There's no hope and there is no cure, but that's okay, too. Hi there again. Like, I haven't been here the whole time. So you're not willing to change your nationality to get a Swiss account?
Well, I'd have to think about it a little bit. But
possible.
I'm open to suggestions.
Are you possible dual citizenship? Any countries?
Canada would be interesting.
Yes, it would be interesting. Not for Canada so much. but, I mean, do you have family that came from Canada?
No, I have family that came from Eastern Europe.
It's okay. Okay, that's a start. Where?
Well, you know, I think it's called the Pale of Settlement.
The Pale of Settlement. Okay, are we talking Romania? I mean, what are we talking? I need a name here.
I think it was either Ukraine and
Kiev. Okay, we're Ukraine, too.
Yeah, Kiev.
Okay. Yeah, try that route.
No, absolutely not.
That certainly worked for our forefathers. It should work for you. Let's see. Jane Bogger. Is that close?
Yeah.
Bogger. Cool. I'm going to go over and talk to you. You're nice. I don't care what's on your card. I like you immediately, Jane. When I first saw you, I thought, no, that Jane is all right. You get that response a lot, I bet, don't you? Yeah. What do you think that is? Just power of personality or something?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what field are you in?
I'm in quality and compliance.
No. Is that a field?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big field.
Quality and compliance. You think one or the other would be enough. Quality should be its own field, and then there's compliance. It's a whole different thing.
Well, I just like to wear a couple hats at a time.
Yeah. Quality and compliance in what area?
Healthcare.
Oh, healthcare.
In healthcare.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
So you're on the side of right and good.
That's right.
Yes.
Always right and always good.
Yeah, okay. Let's see here. Here it says here. Yeah, here it announced Home Health United. Have you ever done a triathlon? Is that you?
That's right. I noticed when I came to Madison, it's such an active city.
Yes.
And
I'm thinking of leaving for that reason.
And so I actually had to kind of get on the bandwagon, so I never learning how to swim.
Yeah, Madison is where guys wear those the Tour de France outfits just to ride on their bikes. You know, for no other, it's ridiculous.
And if you haven't done a triathlon or an Ironman here, you're nothing, really.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm nothing because I've never done a triathlon. I've never even done an athlon or a unithlon or whatever they call mono.
Duathlon?
Never do a duathlon. No, don't do
marathon?
That. No, nothing with a thon in it or. I have nothing to prove. I don't understand, you know, why they do it, tell you the truth.
I'm trying to understand that, too.
I mean, do you do those things?
I'm trying. I'm trying to do a triathlon, I guess. Yeah, but
maybe you're in a triathlon, then.
I really am. I have...
T-R-Y-athlon.
Yes, very much a try. Yeah. Yep. I signed up for my first one the end of August. I actually had to learn to swim first, though.
See, now, you shouldn't even feel this pressure. You're already in quality and compliance. You know, that's a lot of pressure there.
It is. I just have this...
So you could do a triathlon, but you had to learn to swim first? That's a...
Yeah. I started...
That's crazy talk.
I know. I it's something that I needed to do in my later decades of life. I thought, well, you know, it's something you can always do when you're 85 years old, right? You can always swim.
Yes, I suppose that's true. I mean, it's something to look forward to when you're 85. I always say you're these people who have a full, healthy sex life in their 80s, so I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait. It's been pretty slow in this period, but when I hit my 80s, boy.
There's always something to work towards.
Yes. And so, yes, and I would have to take sex lessons, I guess, you know, like swimming. And how's the swimming coming?
It's coming pretty well. I still have yet to swim 500 yards without stopping. So that's my goal.
That's going to be a hang up, isn't it, in the triathlon? Because usually...
Well, I'm counting on the wetsuit for a little buoyancy and the kayakers in the water. So.
I give you a lot of credit, Jane.
Thank you.
So hang in there. Be your best.
Thanks.
Remember, you're doing it for all of us. Thank you for coming. Nice to see you. I don't know. Are you in triathlons and stuff?
I just watch her. Yeah, that's enough for me.
You're not in training of any sort?
Well, there's just enough to keep up with her. And, yeah, I wipe her brow and stuff. Yeah, I'm...
Okay, I hear you. Okay, cool. Let's go. Larry Stewart from De Pere has been 34 years as a UPS driver and is retiring. How about that? They let you keep the vehicle. They should let you keep the vehicle is what I'm thinking, Larry, for one thing. And now you're wondering what to do in retirement? Is that the... Come on, meet me halfway on this. Come on. Come out here. Drive down here and hop out in the middle of the street like everybody else. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Has UPS been good to you all these years?
Yeah, it's a good company, but they work you hard.
Oh, yeah, they do. I see these guys zipping around all the time there. And in De Pere, is that where you're driving?
Yep. A lot of years.
Yeah. You ever just want to branch off to, you know, another, come down to Portage or something and do a different route or something?
I would frown on that, I think.
Yeah. You haven't been stationed. Can they station you in different cities? UPS? It's like the Army, isn't it?
You could transfer to a different center if you wanted to, but.
Never had call to?
Nope.
Yeah. Do you carry dog treats with you, like some?
Yeah, sometimes.
Fend them off as well?
Yeah, I've been bit a number of times.
You bite back, or what are you doing?
No, you're just trying to stay away, and most of them are friendly, though.
Yeah. But it's retirement time now.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, do you have retirement skills?
Well, I mean, I like to golf and do some fish and things, but yeah, I think I'll be all right.
You'll probably end up just like driving around, double parking. Hopping out of your vehicle to carry a few errands and hop back in.
That's what
I see a lot of double parking in your future.
Well, I hope not too much, but yep.
Good, congratulations.
Great, thank you.
You know, and we appreciate UPS, don't we? Norman, retiring. What do we got for a retiring UPS driver?
Well, Michael.
These guys work hard.
Let him kick off his morning right with a cup of Steep and Brew breakfast blend from Madison Steep and Brew Coffee. We know beans about coffee.
There you go. Okay, enjoy it. Yeah, have a good retirement. You've earned one there. How can a son total two cars while living in Nashville over a four-year time frame? Is that out of his systems? Two cars in 4 years. Where is Greg? Oh, yeah, Greg. We're just the family here. Yeah. Is he okay, though? He's okay, right? Oh, that's him there? Okay, it's back Jane's family here, the Boggers. Okay, I got to go back to this family because apparently I left some issues unresolved. We got the triathlon thing down, but there's also this. Norman, how are we doing? Okay on time?
Is this Lemon Pledge or an air horn?
Are you going to do it?
Would you like to hear it?
No. Yeah. Oh, Norman! Everyone wants to do that. Two cars in 4 years?
Well, it was closer to 2 years.
Two cars in 2 years?
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, I had a tree fall on my car.
And you had a tree run into your car, is that what you're saying?
Just hit and run. A year almost to the day after that, I got in a car accident. Someone T-boned me on my passenger side and totaled the car. So now
you're a victim.
I am, yeah, victim of circumstance.
Yes, and just a victim. And you got to stop being the victim. Is all you got to do.
I'm working on it. Take my own hands.
What are you driving now?
It is a Hyundai Elantra.
Well, you might want to up that a little bit in terms of. You want a little something more around you, I think, just in case you don't get out of this thing.
Yeah, but if it's cheap car, so when I total this,
get two of them strap them together, is that?
Yeah, double.
You are
Seth.
Yeah. Hang in there, Seth. He's gonna be all right. It's not his fault. All right, we're gonna play another round of the What Do You Know quiz, and a chance for you to win the fabulous prizes. He didn't win the last time. Give you some idea of how fabulous they were. You heard those prizes. So if you want to play the quiz, now here is your chance. You can do it. It's not a thing where you have to. It's the thing where you can. It's the thing where you do the thing. You do the quiz thing. Yes. Yes, I think you should. A young person. Come on. It's our future. You are our future. You're our future, dear.
Awesome.
Our future all depends on you. No pressure here. And you are?
Olivia.
Olivia, you're from?
Green Bay.
From Green Bay, up there. Okay. And in school yet?
Yep, I'm in school. Yep. Sophomore.
Sophomore.
Yep.
And Green Bay?
Notre Dame Academy.
Notre Dame Academy. I've heard all about it, actually. Olivia, one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because it's awesome.
It's awesome! Olivia, you're awesome! From the Academy. Tritons.
Yep.
Okay. So how are you doing there at the Academy? What are you involved in a lot of stuff?
Yeah, a lot of music.
Music? Yeah. What are you doing?
I'm in the jazz band.
Oh, you are?
Yep. And...
Good for you. Yeah. Well, what do you play?
I play the piano and the drums.
Simultaneously? Or are you like a one-woman band?
One at a time.
Yeah. Well, how cool. So you like these guys, these jazz guys?
Yeah, good. Awesome.
Yeah, you're learning stuff?
Yeah, it's kind of nice to watch.
Yeah. Is that you think you're going to do that professionally? Or
I don't know. I kind of want to be a cardiac surgeon, so.
You can do both.
Go with that.
Yeah.
So that's, both sounds
There's
good.
There's a lot of downtime during the average operation. You know, they go on for hours and hours. So a little interlude. Now, there's Olivia and a little etude for cardiac. That's really,
with a knife
that's great,
in my
that's
heart.
Great. With a knife in my... Olivia, someone out there plays along with you on this quiz. It's like a joint effort. And how do they do that, Norman?
Well, Michael, if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone in these scant few minutes remaining.
Yes.
They will dial 800-942-5669. Uh-huh. That's 1-800-WANO or 1-800-WACK-NOW. And answer this qualifying question.
Okay, sorry to step on you there. Here's the question. How many more genes does it take to be a tomato than it does to be a person? You know, they did this genome, they finally genomed the tomato and discovered it was incredibly complex and that we weren't. So there are actually more genes in a tomato. I don't understand this myself, but more genes in a tomato than in a person. You want to know how many more, within how many, Norman?
How about plus or minus 5%, Michael?
Fine. Let's go to the phones right now. Paul's on the line from Woodstock, Illinois. Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, did you hear about this tomato thing?
I did not hear about this tomato thing.
Everyone's talking about it. Tomatoes have been genome sequenced, and they have more genes in a person. You know how many more? It's in the thousands. It's in the thousands, I'll tell you that. Strangely.
Okay.
Yeah. So pick 1,000.
4,000.
And 5% 4,000. Close enough. 7,000. 5% is congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, they have 7,000 more genes. What do they do with them? I mean, what does it take to be a tomato? Hang there and ripen. I mean, I could do that in a flash. I'm ripening right here, even as we speak. We have genes to do it. Paul, this is Olivia.
Hi.
Hi, Olivia.
Hi, Paul.
I'm a big fan of your namesake from Down Under.
Thanks.
Don't mind him. That's just fine. All right, two of you are a team right now, Paul and Olivia. You don't compete. You cooperate, and let's have those categories there, Norman.
Those categories are people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, current events, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. More or less it. And Olivia. No, Paul. Paul's first. Our phone guy goes first. So what would you like, Paul?
Let's go with people.
All right, people. Who is more competitive about intelligence, athletic ability, work, and money, men or women?
I say women.
Huh. They're more competitive in all four of those?
Yes.
I would go with women then.
Yes, women. She didn't hesitate. Isn't that interesting? We're just not very competitive.
That's one right, Michael. One right and none wrong.
Okay, very good. What's left there?
Categories remaining are places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, current events, science, or odds and ends.
Olivia, what do you have?
I say odds and ends.
Odds and ends. All right. The dirtiest place in the office, absolute dirtiest place in the office, this is for bacteria count, is it the water cooler handle, men's desks, or the carpeted cubicle walls?
That's a tough one.
I have no idea.
Never worked in an office, huh? Never had the pleasure?
No.
Okay,
desks at school.
I do work in an office.
Desks, you're saying? You think desks?
No, that's...
That's cool, yeah. They'd be dirty. Desks. Men's desks.
Yeah,
they said by sex, it's actually men as opposed to just desks in general.
Yeah, I think people don't clean their desks very much, and so probably the germs just stay there. So I think desks probably is it.
Men's desks?
Yeah.
Men's desks is right, yes. That's the worst. Don't ever go to one. If you go to work and you're a man, don't use your desk. Yes.
That would be two right and none wrong.
Okay, what's left?
The remaining categories would be places, things you should have learned in school, had you been paying attention, current events, or science.
Paul?
Let's go with current events.
Current events, right out of the news. How did the UK judge rule on the Samsung tablet? This is a rather unusual judgment. You know, there's all this litigation going on these tablets, Apple and Samsung and so forth. A UK judge issued a decree or whatever they do, a ruling saying something about the Samsung tablet, which made the headlines all around the country because it was a rather unusual assessment of it. Did you hear about that?
I did not.
No, okay.
No.
Paul, did you hear about that?
No, I didn't. But if I take two tablets, will you call me in the morning?
Okay. In that case, what's 5 foot across, perfectly round, and excites paleontologists?
Perfectly round and excites me. 5 foot across, perfectly round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Paleontologists are very excited about it. It's 5 foot. It's perfectly round, actually. 5 foot across. 60 million years old. What?
Some dinosaur bone that they found or something?
No, dinosaur. No.
A hole?
Not a hole. No, they could be excited being paleontologists because you never know what's in that.
A cavern or a cave or something?
No, I guess we're not going to get this one. It's a turtle. It's a 60-million-year-old, perfectly round turtle.
Wow.
Yes, not too exciting, but it is a current event. They just discovered it, and
that would be two right and one wrong.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. But the other question wasn't any good either. So what's left there, Norman?
For categories, yes. Remaining would be places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, and science.
Okay. Back
I'm picking?
I don't know. You want to?
I don't care. Sure.
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Things you should have learned in school.
Okay. We should have learned this.
I hope so.
With Flerovium and Livermorium. Okay. what's worse for childhood obesity, school or home?
Home.
Home?
Yeah.
More likely to...
That's what I'd think.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what it would be for me. I mean, yeah. If I think about it.
Yeah. Like for snacks and stuff like that. Yeah. You want to weigh on this, Paul?
I think so, because I'm thinking the schools are probably needing to provide healthier choices.
Right. And homes aren't.
That's what I'm guessing.
That's right. Home. Congratulations.
Three right, one wrong.
They won.
They won.
Yeah.
And what did they win? Well, Olivia, when you find yourself looking just a little bit too continental, trim unsightly nose and ear hair the painless way. There's no justice in the world. With a groom-made trimmer, no batteries needed, from Duluth Trading Company. And Paul.
Nice call.
Paul, your coin collection, or hoard, will gain added luster with the wondrous Silver Jubilee Anniversary Quarter designed by Nora Feldman. And legal tender in fine small talk radio department stores everywhere. And both of you will look back to a cherished imaginary childhood growing up in the heartland pasture paradise of Wisconsin with a bar of what do you smell soap. From the Screaming Porch Gift Company, and play What Do You Know, the party game, until the cows come home while admiring the trendy Michael Feldman bobblehead. From Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com.
Thanks, Olivia.
Thank you.
Congratulations to you. Good luck on everything you're doing. Paul, hang on. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing.
Going to be August 11th at Historic Music Hall in Madison, Wisconsin. And we're back here at the Monona Terrace on August 18th. For ticket information, call 608-262-2201 or go to notmuch.com for tickets. What Do You Know travels to the Gallagher Blue Dorm Performing Arts Center in Cedar Falls, Iowa on September 8th. More information, including where to buy tickets, is available at notmuch.com.
About all our stuff. They want to buy the stuff and all that.
How to buy stuff?
How to get our
Can
stuff?
You go to notmuch.com. Does that work?
It works for me.
All right, try it. You get
try
nice,
it. Well, you don't have to get insulting about
get
it.
Get a nice trimmer.
Yeah. Credit? Do you need credits or anything?
Well, we're getting to that.
Okay, we're getting that. Okay. Let me interrupt.
I have explicit directions here.
Okay.
Building up the suspense again.
Okay.
Would you like to hear it, though?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich, producer, with assistance from Michelle Good, Lyle Anderson, Katie Dreps, and Diana Cook. Technical director, Tom Blaine, with help from Audrey Ralph and Brad Colburn.
Nice job there, Norman Gilliland. You know the boys in the band, John Tooling, Jeff Hammond, myself. Thank you all for coming. Join us again, because we'll be here before you know it.
ERI, Public Radio International.